There's probably not a person who has prayed and prayed for others who hasn't wondered whether or not and or why not all their prayers are not answered. We pray for people who are sick, and sometimes they don't get well. They die. We pray for people who have a certain circumstance, and sometimes that circumstance continues. It may be an adverse circumstance. It may be an uncomfortable circumstance. And we wonder why. There's probably not a person who has prayed for others who hasn't wondered, why is that they didn't get better health? Why is that their relationships haven't improved? Why is that their child or their children or their relatives haven't been blessed? Why is that they haven't gotten that job that we prayed for them for? Why is that? So in this short sermon, I hope to give you a different perspective as possibility as why not. You probably know about the story of Jonah. Those of you who don't, let me just explain it. Jonah was a prophet of the eternal. And the word of God came to Jonah. And Jonah was told, I want you to go over to Assyria, the country of Assyria, to their capital city, Nineveh. And I want you to proclaim that I, the Lord God, am going to punish them and destroy them if they don't repent. Now, Jonah did not like the Assyrians, because he also knew that there were prophecies about Assyria who would destroy Israel. So Jonah didn't want to go. I don't want to go there. So Jonah took, I'm going to escape. Now, he was in the presence of God by the temple, but he thought he could run away from God. He thought, if I just get away from this temple, I'll just be out of God's presence. So Jonah headed down to the docks. I want to catch a ship to go over to Tarshish and get away from the eternal. And sure enough, he found a ship that had room and he got on it. And then he went out to Tarshish. Now I want you to imagine that you're Jonah's good friend. And let's put it in modern day. Jonah has a cell phone. And you've got a cell phone. And now Jonah texts you. You get a text on your cell phone and Jonah says, pray for me, that I can get a seat on one of these ships going to Tarshish. And you say, okay, I will. And of course, he gets on the ship. And then as he starts to roll out into the sea, all of a sudden the sea becomes very, very turbulent. Now, Jonah goes downstairs, and he's sleeping, everybody else aboard, and finally they kind of wake him up, and he comes up, and they're telling everybody, pray to your God. You know, there are various people who praise the various gods, and they say, you pray to your God. And Jonah gets up, and he now texts you, pray that the sea will calm down, because these people are all upset, and they want to know why it is. And they decide somebody on this ship, it's somebody causing this. And so they cast lots. They're going to cast lots. And he texts you and says, pray that the lot doesn't fall on me, because they're going to be upset with me if the lot falls on me. And the lot falls on Jonah. So you've been praying because you love Jonah. Jonah's your good friend. But the lot falls on Jonah. And so they say, what have you done? What have you done? And Jonah says, well, I've tried to run for the presence of the eternal. And so he texts you again, pray that these people will understand me, that they will accept me doing this. And so you pray, but they don't. They say, how can you? Because you remember, he said, I worship the eternal who made the heavens and the earth. And instead of understanding him, they say, how could you leave and run like this as a prophet? How could you do this? And Jonah says, well, just throw me overboard. Throw me overboard. And he says to you, text you, pray that, that I won't die. They're going to throw me overboard. Maybe pray for me. And they throw him overboard. And of course, God has this big fish, probably a gigantic, nobody knows what kind of fish it was, but it could have been a shark. I would imagine it's one of these big, gigantic sharks that, that could just open his mouth and swallow, because I don't think whales like people much to swallow them. But anyhow, he's swallowed by this big, big fish, and he goes down in the belly of this fish. And he texts you from there. And you're praying that, and next thing you know, what happens? He's vomited up on the shores of Assyria, on the shores of Nineveh. And again, the word of God comes to him. And this time, the word of God says, you go there and you tell them my message. So now he texts you once more. Well, I've got to do it. God got me. I've got to pray. I've got to give this message. Pray for me. And pray that the Ninevites won't accept it, so God will destroy them, just as he promised to destroy them. Pray that my prophecy will come true, because I'm going to tell them they've got 40 days and doom will come on Nineveh. Pray that they won't accept it. And you say, of course, I'm Jonah's good friend. I'll pray to God. I'm praying, God, don't let them accept your message. And what happens? The Ninevites accept the message. They turn around. They begin to call a fast. The leader of Nineveh says, we're going to all fast and we're going to repent of our evil ways, because we don't want to be destroyed. You know, Jonah walked across the diameter of the city, saying 40 days and Nineveh will be no more. They repent. None of your prayers here, or hardly any of them, turned out to be the way Jonah asked you to pray for him. Because, why? Because God had a greater purpose. A purpose that you didn't know. Jonah's asking you to pray for him. A purpose that you didn't know. You had no idea. So, what is God concerned about? So, you see, when we pray, we don't always know what God has in mind. Let's take another example. And was a very nice man, very good man. He was one of the best men ever. He hated iniquity. He loved God. He had been prosperous. And one day, you're there, you're his friend. Here come people in and they say, you know, all your cattle, all your camels have been destroyed. All your sheep have been taken. All your servants were slaughtered by the Sabaeans. You're losing all your wealth. He lost it. One thing after another thing after another thing. And you pray, God, help Job. Don't let Job suffer any more losses of his wealth. Don't let him suffer anymore. And then the next thing comes in and he loses them. And then he loses something else. And God, stop. This something is happening to Jonah. Please help Jonah to repent, God, and so that he won't suffer anymore. And then somebody comes in and says, all your children have died. And he says, pray for me. And you say, okay, I will pray for you. And in your prayers, you don't know, you see. You have no idea what happened in heaven. You don't know that Satan went and said about Job, yeah, God, he loves you, but he only loves you because you've prospered him. Let me take everything he has away. He'll curse you to your face. And God said, okay, I'll let you take away everything he has, but don't touch his body. And so Satan leaves the presence of the Lord, and the Bible tells us this scene that no one on earth knew, and that Satan leaves and he takes all of Job's possessions, including all of his children. And then God says to Satan, you see, look, you moved me against him, but he still maintains his integrity and he still loves me as much as he did before. He still hates iniquity. He still loves righteousness. And what does Satan say? Skin for skin. Yeah, he stays with you, but he himself, he lost his kids. Yeah, he lost all of his cattle and all of his possessions and all of his servants. Yes, but he himself, you let me touch him. Let his body suffer. And you watch that he will curse you to your face. And God said, okay, I'm going to let you cause him to suffer. But you can't kill him. I'm going to stop. You cannot take his life. So right then, Satan leaves the presence of the Lord, and he goes after Job. And he starts to smite Job with boils all over his body, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. There is no way that Job can sit, stand, lie, or any other position that isn't painful, 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 painful. And he's suffering, and he's suffering. And of course, if you're his friend, you're saying, God, take these boils away. You know, heal Job of this. Heal Job of this. Heal Job of this, don't you? You said you would do it. I would. You would. We would all do it. But God, Job isn't healed. Job isn't healed. He doesn't get healed. He doesn't. And he's continuing this. And finally, his other friends come over and they say, well, Job, if you would repent, if you would just change your mind, if you would just start to admit where you were wrong, then maybe God's hand on you wouldn't be so bad. And Job said, I didn't do anything that bad. I didn't do anything to cause this. And they said, oh, come on. We know that nothing, you know, if you're good, all the blessings come to you. And if you're bad, all the curses come to you. Don't we know that? And Job says, I don't know what we know, but I didn't do anything to cause this. They said, oh, you've got some secret sins. Oh, you're not really, you know, fessing up to it. Oh, you better do this. They blamed him. They blamed him. They blamed him. You see, you would have prayed. I would have prayed. But we wouldn't have known what God had in mind. Sometimes God has a purpose for people that's beyond what we understand. Now, you're going to say, well, then maybe we shouldn't pray for people, David. No, no, no. We should always pray for people. We should always pray. We would always pray for the best, for the healthiest, for the prosperity, for the health and welfare of everyone we know. We should always pray for that because we don't know why. Because in our hearts, what do we want for every one of us? What do we want for every person that we know? What do we want for every person that we love? We want their prosperity. We want their blessings. We want their peace of mind. We want their good health. We want the blessings on their children and their relatives. We want every blessing that can be given to them. That's what we want. And that's good. But we don't always know. So one of the things we pray is, as Jesus told us in the, thy will be done. Remember that? On earth as it is in heaven. We don't always know what God's will is in heaven, but we pray that whatever it is, it will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Apostle Paul says words like this. I'm going to read from Colossians 1, verses 3 and 4. We give thanks to God the Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, he says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all saints. We pray always for you. Now, what does he pray for them? You know, he prays that they will increase and do well and do better and things are, you know, the blessings. In Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As much as we can, we need to know God's will. But we don't always know what God's purpose is for someone else. We don't. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, we get credit for praying. And we should always pray for the comfort, welfare, and blessings. But God has sometimes other things in mind. And we have to ask this question. Is God more concerned about your comfort or your character. God is more concerned about your character. And sometimes the trial, the testing, the suffering is where we build even more character. Now, God won't put anything on us beyond what we're able to endure, but sometimes he lets us suffer for the sake of character. But you and I are going to pray for anyone who is suffering that it ends. Yes, we will. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 says, I thank my God in all remembrances of you, always offering prayer with joy in every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. And verses 6 and 7 in chapter 4, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now we make our requests, we give them to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God's peace guards our hearts and minds. And in chapter 10 of Romans, verses 1 through 3, brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God is for their salvation. Now you just, in chapter 9, Paul had just talked about why the Israelites have not accepted Christ and the Gentiles were. And he said, you know, the Gentiles who didn't seek the righteousness have found it through faith in Christ. And he says, but I'm praying for the Israelites. And he says, verse 2, for I testify, this is Romans 10, verse 2, I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. And that righteousness comes through faith. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all saints. We're supposed to pray for all our saints. We're supposed to pray for them. And pray on my behalf, Paul says, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. So he wants, you know, we're supposed to pray for all the saints. But sometimes when we pray, we don't know what God has in mind for each individual. We just don't. And therefore we pray, if it be your will, you know, we pray according to your will, that if it be your will, let this happen. Thy will be done on earth. So sometimes we get discouraged because we say, well, we prayed for so-and-so to be healed. Well, we prayed for this person's suffering to end. Well, we prayed for this to happen, and it didn't happen. Well, you could have prayed that Job's boils would heal up in a couple of days, and they wouldn't, because God had something more in mind. Because our thoughts, as Isaiah said, are not God's thoughts. God's thoughts, God's ways are higher than our ways. We just have to acknowledge that. We are human. We only know what we can know. Thankfully, in the book of Job and in the book of Jonah, we have a couple of examples in the Bible of things that were beyond the average person to know. And we can get an insight into what God's doing, because God is more concerned about our character than our comfort.